Welcome, Photon Warriors. Commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Jackalope Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
Welcome to the Movies Hate You Show.
Welcome to the Movies Hate You Show.
Give me a break, guys. Come on,
man. One break coming up.
Come on, man. Jeez, I gotta off.
Give me a break. Give me a break.
Oh,
break
stop. Me off a piece. Stop. Stop.
Hey, we have to pay Alan Thicke for that, don't we? Didn't Alan Thicke write that song?
No stupidity. Please.
We better shut down now.
Speaking of stupid, Todd Sheets, he's our producer. to my left is the boy who puts the guy, the man who puts the boy in boy sauce. I mean, soy sauce. Anyway, Mr. Ree, the Asian Invasion's here.
Hello.
Lee Peterson, welcome to the show.
Disoriented Oriental.
Welcome back. Disoriental Rental?
Something.
Huh. Well, there's something there. Yeah. Soy sauce, boy sauce, something. Something there with you. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Let's take a moment of silence for Jim Kelly. Jim Kelly. 1, 2, 3. Todd, I said silence. They're clicking.
Silent.
He's like winding a clock.
It's his Rolodex.
He's winding his Rolodex. All right, that was for Jim Kelly.
Perfect for the radio.
It's the Movies Hate You Show. Brought to you, also known as the Wild Eye Releasing Power Hour.
Yeah, I like that.
Power Hour.
Power.
Right. And why are we the Wild Eye Releasing Power Hour? You explain.
You put me on the spot. Because Wild Eye Releasing is your one-stop shop.
I don't like that. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. No, because it's not a store. It's not like a...
It's a virtual store.
It's not a virtual store. Why would you call it a store? Why would you say it was a store when it's a studio?
You can get things from it.
Well, you can get things on the website, but you can also get things on Amazon or your local Blockbuster Video. It's not like we're trying to get you into our pizza shop to get a slice.
How about your purveyors of perversions?
Why does it have to be perversions? We have many films that have no perversions in it.
You want to give me a few minutes, and I'll come up with
come back
really
later.
Fun.
Come back really later. Fun. So that listen, sponsored by WildEyeReleasing.com. That's right, WildEyeReleasing.com. Right now, you can get Richard Griffin's amazing film Exhumed.
Mm. A lot of buzz on that.
A lot of buzz is going around. It's crazy. A lot of stuff. A lot of interviews coming up, and good stuff. Just got into Blockbuster Video.
Nice.
Yeah, and there was a little debate going on that there actually weren't any Blockbuster stores still around. But there are. There are about 500 or so in the country here, and about 1,500 outside of the U.S.
Huh.
So, yeah. So, if you're in Uruguay, you can get a copy of Exhumed.
Nice. Is my Blockbuster membership card still good?
I'm not sure. You might have to sign up again, because they did change ownership with Dish Network, so there might be a new system in place. Huh. I'm not sure. But you can get what is that?
Somebody fell asleep. But we lost our listener.
I think we lost our guest. Oh, by the way, somebody's cranking it over there. I think that might be our special secret guest from last week who's returning. By the way, last week's show, we want to apologize. There were technical issues during the show, which we were complaining about technical issues, which I thought was pretty meta. That show where we had the ExtraCast guys, and we had a special appearance from our mystery guests for tonight as well. That is in the archives, and you can hear that from last week. You want to go back and hear that show. It's a really good show.
Yes.
And for those that missed the Zach Galligan interview we did the week before, that is now up in the archives. And pretty much we are caught up to date in the archives. So you can go back the last few months. I think we had cut off in April, but now we're up to June. Mm-hmm. So we're all there.
Yeah.
You can check us out. Let's stop BSing and bring in the King BS. Oh, he didn't like that? He's going to hang up on me.
I'm here. I'm here. I'm just waiting for the power to go out of the internet to fail again, you know?
That voice there resonates and shakes the walls. Yeah, that's right, Jackalope listeners. You know who he is. Mr. 42 Street Pete. 42
Street Pete. Hey, good to be back. Let's see how long the power holds out.
Now, welcome back to the Jackalope stations. Now, you retired from Jackalope, but you're back. You're back with us. But do you have any other news to share with us?
Well, I had to walk away from a lot of stuff for a while because, you know, after a while you could just, you know, and, you know, you and I have had this conversation, you know, off topic about how certain things just, you know, tick you off to the point where, like, why do you want to be involved in this stuff? And that's about where I was at. And, you know, add into the whole Facebook saga of me being, my profile being deactivated at the bequest of a certain person who I won't even dignify him by mentioning his names because he is lower than the little piece of brown stuff I just scraped off my boot on the way back in from the backyard. So, you know, it takes a gang mentality. And I just said, you know, something, I could be doing those stuff rather than, you know, do this. So, I did want to do a blow-off show, but then, you know, tensions were running high, and, you know, a lot of things were said that shouldn't have been said, but be that as it may, it just ended. So, in the interim, I actually got a lot of things accomplished that I otherwise wouldn't have had accomplished because I had, you know, time to do this. You're laughing at me last week. I planted a garden. Big deal. I have little tomatoes growing. They'll be big tomatoes.
No, I wasn't laughing. I just thought, like, you have this reputation of being so, you know, kind of old school badass. I thought that it was a, you know, kind of funny that you had a garden. I could just imagine you out there using, you know, old stag mags for fertilizer or something.
No, I yell at the plants so that they listen.
You're right. You smack them around.
I yell at them. They fall in line. Strangely enough, nothing that I've stuck in the ground has died yet. And usually it's the other way around where I'm stucking something dead in the ground, but, you know.
That's good. Well, yeah, I was going to wonder, do you use, you could use, you know, all these people that you're having these battles with on Facebook and whatever, you can use their corpses as good fertilizer, man.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I learned the hard way about soil in Ohio. It's hard. It's like hard and clay-like, and when you step in mud, you could walk through 9 puddles and it will not wash you off. You literally have to go home and take off your boots and scrub the bottoms of them. So you really can't dig through this stuff, so I actually had to, like, buy topsoil. And I'm thinking, I'm paying $1.49 for a 50-pound bag of dirt.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like buying a bottle of water.
Yeah. It gets you every which way. But
it comes free out of the tap, and then you're going to pay $2 for it.
Yeah. So, you know, I was doing that, but that's besides, then, you know, taking care of the dog and the, you know, the dragons and stuff and, you know, just chilling out. But I actually finished my book.
Nice.
It's been bouncing around for, I'm guessing, about 7 years now. And I just said, you know something? I had sent what I had to our friend Mike Watt, who edits. And I said, what do you think? And he goes, I think it would work. He goes, you know, why don't you just, you know, knock it out? So I basically wrapped it up but left it wide open for more because it's basically just a stream of consciousness of what happened, you know, me growing up in, you know, the Italian Catholic, you know, family, getting sent to Catholic school, getting the crap beat out of me because I liked horror movies and stuff or whatever. So, you know, you go through that and then, you know, just drifting over, you know, into the movies in general and then, you know, winding up on 42nd Street and, you know, the hustling and, you know, Norman and all that other crazy stuff. So It's pretty much wide open for another one if people really like this thing.
Do we get the origin story of your name? How you?
Yeah, got it? Actually, this is the funny part. After I sent them what I thought was the finished product, I'm like, you know, I never put in how I did that. So I just sent it to him as an attachment. He can, you know, drop it in an appropriate place. But I'm like probably the most important part of how I got the name, I never even bothered to put in. So,
is this going to be a kiss and tell book, Pete? Any juicy stories?
Oh, there's tons of juicy stories, but that's why I may not be able to come back to Jersey after this, but, you know, that's beside the point.
Are we going to get the dirt on the conventions in this? Because that's, I think, what a lot of people want to hear.
Actually, no, I didn't go that far. Because you got to realize that, like, all right, you know, segment from 1968 into the 70s, that was like one era of my life. Then you go into the 80s, where I got married, still doing crazy stuff, but more like doing stuff for profit, like, you know, hooking up with guys like Norman and Wheeling and Dealing and stuff like that, you know. And then, you know, a lot of the book is the cast of characters I met along the way. And just, you know, we've all done, you know, the all-nighter. So I've had some memorable all-nighters.
So this is like a Dave Friedman two-part job, but you're gonna finish the second part, right?
Yeah, I want to see how the first part goes over. You know, if I sell 50 books, whoop-de-doo, guess what?
Yeah, but wait, isn't that what happened with Friedman? He wanted to see how the first one, whatever happened with Friedman, we needed to get that second part, man.
Stop.
Supposedly, something weird was going to put it out.
Yeah, is it done?
See, the whole thing was, and, you know, I had this conversation with Dave, so I don't think this is bullshit. The thing is epic. It's 600-something pages. The publisher wanted him to cut it down to 3, and he wouldn't. So I'm just hoping, you know, something where it puts out as he wanted it, or put it out in 2 more books.
Oh, so that was the story. It was actually finished, but they cut it in half.
Yeah, and they weren't going to cut it in half. They just basically wanted him to edit it down to 300 pages. And he's like, no, after all that work, you know? So they were, you know, bouncing it around. And when he was up at Wasteland, which was, you know, probably the last convention he went to, he had said that, you know, he had sat down with, you know, Mike from Something Weird, and then he'd hammered out an agreement that, you know, Mike can get stuff published. I mean, anybody can get something published, you know, self-publish.
Right.
So I think Mike was basically going to put it out, you know, under a Something Weird product.
I wish he would.
Yeah, me too.
Like Mr. Reese said, just as it got, like, really juicy, boom.
Yeah,
it
ends. That was it.
It ends. Yeah. That's one of my cherished books, man.
I forget. Oh, yeah. Did he even go into the Blood Trilogy in the book? I think he stopped right.
It was right before that, and the adult stuff and all of that.
No, really. he did do the Blood Trilogy in the book. He stopped right before he got into, like, you know, the adult stuff.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. It was right there. But I think there could have been more to the Blood Trilogy stuff, I believe, if I recall.
I don't, like I said, you know, you're talking
years, but.
This guy never stopped working, you know?
I had the feeling that with Friedman, he was not, I want to put it delicately, but once his wife passed away, it felt like maybe the stories might come out a little bit more freer.
Right.
You know?
No, actually, contrary to popular belief, I don't think anything really happened. He was very, very faithful to his wife. In fact, a lot of us were worried that he was going to go really quick right after his wife died, because, you know, usually couples that are that tight, you know, one goes, the other one goes, like, within a year. But, you know, he hung out for, you know, good time after that. But, you know, as far as I know, and I never heard anything to the contrary, he was pretty faithful to his wife.
Mm-hmm. I thought I heard some allusions to that, in commentaries or documentaries or something. There was some little bit of a wink there that...
Yeah, you could, you know...
Connie Mason stuff.
I don't think that ever happened. You know what it is? Dave knows how to work you. It's that simple. Don't forget, Dave's whole background, he was a Carney guy. So, you know, the movies, you know, especially the stuff that him and Herschel were doing, and him and, you know, Dan Soni and all them guys were doing, that was a shell game. And that's what they were good at. But he always, his big thing, he always said under his breath, and he goes, you know, I just... have to take a sucker for a nickel. I can't resist. But one thing that Dave would always tell us, always leave something behind so that, you know, people want you to come back. Greedy mm-hmm. people just suck it all up and go on to the next town. No, always leave a few winners behind because that way, you know, they look forward to you coming back. You know, in other words, take their money, but leave smiling and wanting more. So, yeah. My book, I'm pretty much, you know, I'm naming names. You know, sometimes I throw pseudonyms in there and things like that. But, you know, most of these people are dead and they roll hoods. So
we're not going to hear the Chiller Theater story?
Yeah.
Any of that stuff?
The Monster Mania, Chiller Theater stuff?
Well, I did throw the Chiller Theater, you know, tenure in there, but I didn't, you know... I don't want this to be like, you know, that's what they're looking for. And that stuff to me is so played out right now because it's been 10 years. You don't want to buy a copy of Unconventional? Signed, $20, limited edition. You know.
Are you selling copies? Yeah, I saw that on Facebook. You're selling copies of Unconventional. Well, that's the documentary, right?
The whole thing was, and I'm not going to blab this here. I'm going to save it for my show. But, you know, nothing to talk about anyway. But it's been 10 years. Originally, there was a 3,000-run press of individual units numbered from 1 to 3,000. And I don't know what happened to the rest of them because I got shoved out of the picture, and that's a whole other story. The thing was pulled back supposedly at the bequest of Chiller Theater and re-edited to get rid of me and a bunch of other stuff they didn't like. And nobody ever got paid. That movie cost over $100,000 to make. You live and you learn because we all know, we all work with film, we all know it's not that much.
I mean, $100,000, I mean, you got $5,000 on screen in that picture. I don't understand exactly where $100,000 went. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I know. I tell you exactly where $100,000 went. They partied with it. I didn't know any better. I was just on staff at Chiller since its inception. So I didn't really know any better. They came to me with this whole thing. Originally, it was somebody who I was working, you know, buying stuff from, who, you know, was big in, you know, the wholesale business. And he said these guys had given him a script. So I read the script. I thought it was cool. I talked to him and I said, you know, maybe you'll just, you know, stop down at a convention and see what that's all about. So they went down to the convention. They loved it. Then they came up with this idea to make this documentary, which I set up. I made sure that, you know, was put up front the promotion so they wouldn't be out anything. And that basically gave them permission to film all weekend. And, you know, the general consensus of opinion of that staff was that Pete was playing star and Pete had a big ego. No, Pete got paid $500 to be the tour guide for the weekend. That was it. Pete sunk $10,000 of his own money into this film, which he's to this day never gotten back. But call it a learning experience and call it, you know, a lot of shit was going on in my personal life, which, you know, was also involved with Chiller because things happened down there involving someone I was living with, and that didn't make things any easier. But it was bad stuff on both sides, but it didn't have to go the way it went. So, you know, 10 years later, you know, despite everything else, I'm still around. And they're still around. But
now that story is not in the book, the unconventional story. That's one I think people like to hear.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's not in there?
No.
What happened
there, to there the is guy? So, you know, I can't, you know, it's sort of like having a variety store and you can't please everybody. If I had to put in, you know, what everybody suggested I put in, I'd still be writing this stuff. I'd be dead at my computer. You'd be chiseling this off the hard drive like a hieroglyphic. So it ain't like it can't happen a year down the road after the first one comes out, but it's like anything else. I've been playing with it for 7 years. It is my life. So,
well, that's the other thing too, is you don't want to get yourself in a position of a libelous position where you're saying something and then, you know,
it doesn't matter. You know, if they wanted to take me to court for any of this stuff, they could have done it years ago. There's nothing in here I'm lying about.
No, I'm not saying lying. I'm saying that, you know, even if you tell the truth, then somebody comes out and says, oh, wait, that didn't happen that way. I got three people that'll say it was different, you know, even if they're all lying. You know how things go.
Yeah, well, a lot of the reason I even wrote, you know, for the early part of the book, because thankfully most of the people I'm writing about are dead now. So there ain't going to be no repercussions. But I hung out with some, you know, crazy people.
All right, so You heard it here
first. And those are the stories that pack a room in Wasteland. So I'm just going by what I already know works. I mean, there's always time. Plus, you know, when I do these talks, I can always bring this other stuff up when I do the talks, because why bring up stuff that I already wrote about in the book? I can read it, you know?
What's the name of the book?
Right now, the working title is A Whole Bag of Crazy, The Strange and Terrible Saga of 42nd Street Pete.
Nice.
Volume 1.
Part 1.
Yeah. Part 1, like Kill Bill. Oh, he wrote too much. We cut more out. Yeah.
Now, we make two. Remember the guy in Unconventional, the foot fancier? Not fetishist, but fancier.
That guy.
Remember that guy with a mutton chop?
Yeah.
Briefcase.
God only knows. You know, nobody I know goes there anymore.
Probably listening right now.
Who?
Well, a few years ago, I'm riding the subway. I can't remember what line, but I get out of the train, the doors close, and I look up and see the conductor, and it's him. He's driving a freaking train. He's a train conductor, foot fancier.
Foot fancier, right?
Foot fancier.
Yeah.
Foot
fancier. Well, I'll tell you something you don't know. Before Chiller was Chiller, it was Horrorthon.
Sure.
And Ox Baker was one of the three guests that was there. And somebody snapped the shot of me, you know, crouching down next to Ox in his chair, and he's got that big nasty grin on his face and stuff. And I had it blown up to an 8x10. Very clearly in the back, you see Bernard Goetz.
Hmm.
Remember Bernard Goetz?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I see him all the time, actually. He lives in the village. He's, oddly enough, he's like a pacifist, vegetarian, animal rescuer. He rescues squirrels who are hurt from the parks and nurses them back to health and then releases them back into the wild. I was going to say crazy guy, but...
Is it crazy?
I don't want to be redundant. I mean...
Yeah. Well, no, he didn't do anything wrong. He was just defending himself.
Yeah, it's a crazy juxtaposition with what we think we know about him.
Right.
We don't know anything, but it was just strange. Like, here's the first horror convention, and... After we saw it, actually, there was a video, I think, a little bit that somebody put out, and you can see him walking in the video. And I just said, you know, here we got a crack security, and nobody even picked up on the fact that we had Bernard Goetz in the building.
Well, in security's defense, a lot of people in fandom look like Bernie Goetz. I mean, yeah. I have to say.
Yeah.
Not too long ago, I was standing in the post office behind Bernard Goetz, and the thought occurred to me, am I safer? Because...
I don't think he carries a gun anymore.
No, you should just whisper in his ear. You got a Phillips head on you?
I mean, the fact that you're in a post office means you're twice as likely to get shot. Mm. But if Bernie Goetz is in front of you, what is it? Does that even in the odds? Does it make? I don't know.
Well, you're white, so I don't think it matters.
Yeah.
What?
Maybe the chances of there being crossfire.
Mayhaps.
I don't know. You guys live in that area. I don't. I just get yelled at for leaving my dog in the car, even though the windows are open and she's got a bowl of water.
Yeah, but that's a no-no. I've seen people get yelled at in the city over that. That is a no-no.
My windows are open.
No, I know. People get crazy, man. People get crazy.
I know. They come in screaming at me. This one woman goes, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. And I looked at her and I go, I ought to be ashamed of myself. I go, you weigh 300 pounds. It's the reason I don't have health insurance. I'm very diplomatic when it comes to that.
You would have received less hassle had you left a baby in the car, I bet.
Hmm.
That's what I said to her. I said, if it was somebody's kid, you wouldn't care.
Well, yeah. Regardless.
You know what I'm going to do? I swear to God, I'm going to wait till a bunch of these little hen peckers are in the waiting line in the post office. I'm going to walk in with Cuddles on my shoulder. See what happens then.
Who's Cuddles?
I don't know what that is.
Cuddles is my big, bright orange bearded dragon. He's friendly as all get out, but he looks like a baby dinosaur sitting on your shoulder.
I always thought bearded dragon was a euphemism, but no.
No, you're thinking of bearded clam.
Mm.
Oh.
Thanks for setting me straight on that.
Well, before we run out of time, because we're really getting into this, I want to touch on the Jackalope thing. It's great to have you back on Jackalope. We had you last week for a few minutes as a little tease, a little guest appearance last week. But what is your relationship with Jackalope right now? And Todd, keep your mouth shut. I don't want to hear it.
Todd had emailed me about, you know, coming back and doing this half hour gig that would be called Short and Sweet with 42nd Street Pete, which would, you know, just like I said, a half hour. So it's not going to be that hard to do, and you know, we'll see what it draws. And you know, I know, you know, I'll tell you right now, the reason I decided to do it was I put it out to the people who were listening to the, you know, to the old show, and a lot of people were really upset that I, you know, discontinued the old show. But like I said, you know, after a while, you just hit a wall. So, you know, enough people, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if I got 10 people listening, fine, you know, that's it. So I said, yeah, I'll do it for you guys. Half hour out of my busy schedule ain't going to kill me. Not that I'm, you know, it's that busy. But, you know, I'm getting shit done, so I can't complain, you know.
Good. Let me ask Todd. Todd, are you there?
I am here.
What is the concept of this half-hour show? What is that all about?
Well, one of Pete's greatest strengths is when he goes into one of those, like, special Zen moments, and he just, it's like a train of thought kind of stuff.
You mean a rant?
Kind of, but it's more than a rant. Because Pete does more than ranting. Pete takes it to a different level of almost existentialism, okay? And so I'm like, let's bring Pete in, give him a full half hour, and basically whatever he decides that night as his topic, he just goes on it. And it's called Short and Sweet with 42nd Street Pete, and it will come in, it'll kick your ass for a half an hour, and then you've got the rest of your day to have a good time. It's all good.
When is that going to air?
Well, it's going to start, I guess Pete and I are going to start working on it this week, so it'll start airing probably Friday night at 7 p.m.
So it'll be every Friday at 7 p.m. You can hear a rant before you start your weekend.
That's 7 p.m. Central, 8 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah, so.
Now, who fills out the other half hour? How does that work on the schedule?
Well, what I'm planning on doing is, for now, it'll just be kind of some filler stuff in there. And then after we get rolling, it'll be the new episode at 7 and the previous week at 7:30.
Uh-huh.
A double dip.
Well, you know, there's always the off chance, too, that if, you know, let's look at it this way. If I'm really rolling and you see I'm really rolling, don't turn it off. Let it go the hour.
There you go.
Wouldn't that be the worst? Like you're confined to that half hour and you really get on something?
Well, you know, if I got something specific in mind, or, okay, I can't come up with something, so let's yank out a film and see what this is all about, you know?
Well, so. Can you give us a little, like, 2-minute taste of what that kind of rant would be? Like, if I said fanboys at conventions, give me 2 minutes on like what people can expect.
I can't curse. All right, let me see if I, you know, I shouldn't use that as a strength. That's like every comedian curses. Let me take another hit off this joint. One second.
Lucy and Desi never had to curse, right?
Yeah, Laurel and Hardy never cursed.
Right. Marcel never cursed.
Yeah, neither did the Stooges.
Let me tell you something. I know Stan Laurel was muttering something in brogue under his breath. I know that. See that? Fanboys?
Dick Cavett.
Okay.
Hey, Groucho.
Fanboys, that's the one you want?
It's me.
Yes. I used to go down to the theater. And no, I can't. I feel like I'm stealing Gilbert Gottfried's bit. Yeah, but if you watch, because I've been watching those old Dick Cavett's lately, and well, yeah, Groucho on.
Of course, in those days, it was a TV show, a television show.
We would have been in news. You do it better than me.
People would watch the show, and they would enjoy the show. From their homes.
He would talk like it would be like 10 minutes of like how the supermarket operates. Like that, and it was because it was Groucho, it was supposed to be, you know, just everybody stopped and listened to him, and it's the most annoying crap.
Word, yeah.
The crap. Cavett, total fanboy Cavett, folded on that man. He could have shut him up and led it somewhere else.
Or you want me to shoot on this?
I was giving you a couple minutes. Yeah, now this is a sample of what you're gonna hear on 42nd Street Pete's new Friday night Jackalope show.
And you want me to talk about fanboys?
Oh, well, yeah, fanboys or conventions, or fanboys at conventions.
Fanboys. Fanboys and conventions, that's a whole, that could be a whole hour and a half show, actually, because the problem with the fanboy thing, I had cut this into two groups earlier on in my, you know, I think you were even involved in it, when we said there's fans, like people like us, who basically, you know, enjoy the genre for what it is. Luckily or unluckily, we got involved in the business as a business, but that's neither here nor there. Now, but, you know, even if I wasn't in the business, I would still be a fan, but not to the point where I would stalk a celebrity, I would mark out and pay ridiculous prices for stuff, you know, things like that. Because it's always been my attitude, you know, if we didn't go to see your movies and buy your tie-in merchandise and do this and do that, where would you be? Nowhere. So you're going to charge me $40 to sign something because all of a sudden the Walking Dead people are getting $40. So you, who were in, you were a victim in a Halloween movie and that's your whole claim to fame, should get $40. No, that's BS. But that's what I mean. These fanboys enable this to happen because they mark out. And by marking out is they just get into something totally and actually think it's all real, which is not, because we all know that certain celebrities will milk the mark for all they can get out of them. And that's the way it works. But unfortunately, the fanboys take it a step further by wanting to be involved in the business and actually feel, and they've created an atmosphere of the internet critic, who basically, and I'm not the only one who said this, people a lot, you know, deeper involved in the business than I am have said this, they can make or break a film before it comes out because of the venom they spew. And they feel safe and secure because they're behind a screen name on the internet. Forget about they trashed, you know, someone's career or something like that, or maybe the film might have been good, but you just didn't like something about it or someone associated with it. So you decide to single-handedly have a vendetta against this film, and unfortunately, at times, they succeed. So my whole thing when I used to write is I just said, I was trying to be nice in the beginning when people would give me movies to watch and stuff, and I, you know, tell them I really don't want to write a review on it, and they would say, why? And I said, because you would probably go home and shoot yourself. And they say, well, and then I explained to them, you know, what I felt about it. But then it got to the point where, well, everybody else likes it. Well, your whole group of 20-year-olds may be awed and overwhelmed by this, but I'm 60 years old and I've seen, you know, I've said this before too, we've killed people in every way conceivable to the human imagination. Every way. Even with a microwave and an open door, which is impossible. Well, we've done it. We've seen people pureed by those fan boats in the Everglades when they were flipped into them by Frankenfish. So there is nothing. And, you know, even goes to baby cruelty, too. How many films in the last few years have had babies getting killed? Feast, the last Argento film, they tossed the baby off a bridge. You know, they got baby violence. So, you know, we've taken it to that whole, we can't go any lower. So why
don't
try?
Don't forget Serbian film, baby violence.
Oh, that's what I meant with the baby. Didn't they screw a fetus or something? I don't know.
Something like that. Yeah. We'll talk about that on this show. It's Christian
family,
Network.
Family show.
Yeah. Well, I won't even watch that. I could care less about Human Centipede. So that's another one. I sort of figured you'd say that. You know, I don't know why. I don't know why.
That's
I just
upper mystery. Yeah. I like that rant, Pete. I'm going to cut you off because I gave you got you 2 minutes. Okay. I like it. There you go. There's a little taste.
And nice. That's without me dropping any expletives.
And that's without any prep. Yeah. We that was not planned. Yeah. I sprung that out. Well, it's great to have you back in the Jackalope family, man.
Thank you. I can work on my feet if I have to, you know.
Oh, well, welcome to the world of archives.
Oh, we have archives? Do they actually work?
No way, man. Everything's back. Everything's working, man.
What happened? The show's being archived as
the show is being archived as it airs now. It's like it's a special archive machine.
And how many sexual favors did Todd do to make this happen?
Oh, we had to do the favors to him to make it happen.
Oh, God. Was he wearing his Batman suit and standing there with his hands on his hips?
No, but you know, from behind with the long hair, you really don't know the difference. You know, it was okay for me. Lord have mercy. You better call the Lord.
Yeah, I know. You were talking about boy juice before you brought me on. I'm starting to worry here. Now I'm starting to worry again.
Boy sauce.
Boy sauce? Okay.
I thought I meant to say soy sauce.
I saw some flyer that had something about a yummy boy gravy station on it, some convention down in Kentucky. Failure Fest or something. I don't know.
Failure Fest?
Yeah, there was a poster up. I think that was a catalyst that started a whole another bunch of crap on the internet, and I didn't put the poster up.
What is somebody? It's a real thing you're talking about?
No. It's got to be a goof because
a spoof.
Yeah, it was something about who knows horror better than a 600-pound hillbilly and the little gay man who wipes his ass. That was what was on top of it.
I honestly don't even know who you're talking
is
about.
Is that a riddle?
I don't know what it was either, but somebody forwarded this to me, and I almost spit out my teeth. It was so funny. So I forwarded it to somebody else, and they put it up somewhere, and I got in trouble for it. But that's the internet, you know?
You're going to charge $20 more, right?
Yeah. How much for the signed teeth, Pete?
The signed teeth? Oh, they're $20. I'm going to put them in as a DVD extra, you know?
Now, when you say Failure Fest, is that something like supposed to be, were they trying to say like these festivals are all failures or the people that are there signing?
No, certain people who think they can run a show and then, you know, they basically, you know, this is what gets to me. It's like, all right, I had my issues with certain people, but I didn't continue it. You know, I'll make a snide comment now and then because if I think they're running a crappy show, I'll say that they're running a crappy show. And that's my opinion. But these guys have you know, a fan base that's just adversarial that doesn't go to any other convention except theirs. And, you know, well Cinema Wasteland sucks. Have you ever been there? No, but it sucks. Well, how do you know that? Well, because it sucks. And you live in Tennessee, correct? Well, yeah, what's that got to do with it? Case closed. Unbelievable.
I gotcha.
Hmm. Yeah. But that's what it is. They got the, you know, and I was saying to somebody today, because Days of the Dead is out in Indianapolis this weekend, and, you know, the Wasteland, you know, contingent's going out there, because, you know, they're setting up. And somebody goes, well, how come you're not going out there? I says, well, nobody asked me. And I said, I'm not doing nothing for nothing anymore, sorry. I said, I'll do Wasteland like I've always done. I'll do Horror Realm because it's 2 hours away. But if I got to drive 5 hours and, you know, all you want to do is give me a table and you want a lot out of me, or I always said, let's sit down and make a deal. But you know something? I really don't care anymore. I'm to that point. Certain things are so repetitious, it's not fun. And by that, I mean the guest list, because it's the same broken record. And I'm going to say this, and I'm not knocking anyone I mention. It's just you're always up there. Bill Moseley. Doug Bradley. Sid Haig. Danny Trejo. You know, Roddy Piper. Linda Blair. It's the same broken record over and over again. Now, all right, I'll pitch Wasteland. Hills Have Eyes, 35th anniversary cast reunion of whoever was left. Michael Berryman, Susan Lehner, Dee Wallace, and a couple other people. Then, all of a sudden, they found William Sachs, Incredible Melting Man Galaxy. And people were excited over meeting this guy. And he mentioned a couple other people when they're coming in. The original Angel Girl, Donna Wilkes, from, you know, Schoolgirl by Day, Hooker by Night.
Yeah, great movies.
Yeah. So, nobody else has these people. And, you know, people are excited about this. But this new breed of fans, there's no Walking Dead people there. That sucks. Yeah, well, we had Merle Severed Hand last Wasteland. He did a land off his business.
How many? Did the hand actually sign things?
Oh, yeah. He was going nuts. You know, he signed and did other things, you know. Only a hand can do. Trouble was, I kept having to send the guy over to the dollar store to get me cases of hand lotion, you know. But yeah, he did well.
Would the hand do special things for you?
Well, not for me personally. I locked him in my briefcase at night so he wouldn't, you get drunk, you forget, you leave him out, you know, that type of stuff.
No, but I mean, for the right price, would the hand?
Yeah, we had a sign up there. We had specials, you know. Hand job was $15, I think.
Kind of like a massage parlor menu.
Prostate exam was $60 with gloves $70, you know.
Would you get a picture of it? I mean,
We offered a full photo op package, you know. We had wet naps and everything too. You know, it was all very professionally set up. Fans loved it. It started off at Horror Realm in Pittsburgh and ended up at Wasteland. But then what happened was carpal tunnel syndrome set in. You know, who's calling me now? Ken from Wasteland. Should I answer this?
No. We're going to bring you. You could, if you need to talk to him, we're going to bring Fred on.
Okay. I'll put him in the drawer.
Maybe that's Merle's hand calling him.
I mentioned Merle's hand, probably over Ken's house playing poker. What happened was I had to take him off the road because he started getting carpal tunnel syndrome.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Todd, bring Fred in. We're going to get a movie review in here. Pete's going to stay on, though.
Okay.
Is Todd still alive? Is he sleeping? This guy likes to sleep on the job, man.
He's got a rotary phone, that's why.
Pete, you sure you want to come back on Jackalope? This guy sleeps through a show.
I do not.
Well, I know. That's why I say the half hour ain't going to kill me because I'll just time it.
That's right. Well, we're glad you got a book out. We're glad you're back in the business. We're glad you're back in the business. And
I got to tell you. You know what you got to do if you want? I need a full page ad for the magazine from you if you want.
All right. How much?
For free.
Sure. That's my favorite number.
Talking down, man.
Yeah.
Send it.
You got Mike Watts, contact information, right?
Yeah.
Send the ad to him. I need it by mid-August.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Here comes the man.
All righty.
Full page. Was it 8.5 by 11?
Well,
whatever full page is.
I don't know. Full page
is. You put it in a magazine.
I know I did. That was a long time ago. I'm going to give you 8.5 by 11. Mike could shrink it down.
Yeah.
Dude, it's not going.
What? Nope.
You guys give me the right number?
Oh, shoot. No. No, hold on. I did not.
You might have called us an agency.
That was my...
It wasn't even my fault this time.
Yeah, the one time, it wasn't your fault. No, I got it. I wrote it down wrong. I mean, I typed it in wrong. That's what we got to call the video store. We haven't done a prank call in a while. We should have done that with Pete.
Yeah, we'll do it next week. It's always next week.
No, we're going to take a couple weeks off for the summer.
Oh.
I'm traveling.
You're traveling?
Yeah.
Damn, where are you going? The hell? Dyslexic much?
Yeah, you just Canada. Same number.
Here we go.
I did it wrong here, and I did it right here. Yeah, I originally did it wrong.
Oh, okay.
Twice.
Okay. I was looking at the last four.
Yeah.
One ring
I screwed up. What's he going to review, Superman?
We don't know yet. That's here exciting. Your
case. Hello.
Hello, Fred. It's
Yeah,
Lee.
How you doing?
Good, and Rob and Todd and our buddy 42nd Street Pete is on the line. We're having a big old party. How you doing, Fred? It's the triumphant return of Fred Schreiber.
This is a return night. This is kind of a return night. Fred returns, Pete returns to Jackalope, Todd returns to the updating the archives.
I did my tax returns.
I did the tax returns. I got no return on the last movie I put out. This is great.
Fred, what's been happening? We haven't talked to you in a month or so. What's been happening with you? Seeing a lot of movies?
I've been going to the flicks.
Yeah, going to the flicks. What have you seen so far this summer? What stands out above the rest? What's the best film?
Something that was, was great. I wouldn't call it a chick flick. It's not your mother's movie.
Okay. Well, my mother doesn't have a movie, so. But it's with that Sandra Bullock and who else?
Yeah,
is
Melissa McCarthy.
It's McCarthy, right? And it's a comedy, right?
That's funny.
Oh.
It was funny. It was raunchy, and. I don't think many people will like the language, from it. But I think if the movie find its niche for the summer audience.
Yeah, it did really well. It was second place, I think. Right.
What do you think of that, Pete?
Yeah.
Said.
Which one?
About the Heat. Did you see the Heat?
No, I don't go to the movies anymore. I can't afford it.
Well, I'm interested to hear. I'm interested to hear what you thought about World War Z, Fred.
No, I suppose it was okay, but I find the movie, you don't know what they talk you know, but especially the beginning, I have no idea how this something invasion began, and they went to point where they, you know, when you saw the beef use, you know, what they stuck in traffic. You mean nobody heard of a zombie invasion? It happened just like that. So it didn't make that much sense to me.
I agree with you. It didn't make a lot of sense to me. Everything just kind of happened. There's no explanations.
Like I said, I don't know what's like history in the development. In the movie, from where the book was, the film was short to when I see it. But I bet you this happy rewrite, and it didn't do it any good.
Right, you can tell the movie, three-quarters of the movie is the original movie, but they rewrote. They took out characters. They rewrote the whole kind of third act. Matthew Fox was in the film. I didn't even realize that.
It was a match. It was exactly, you know, one, you know, with a good ending, you know, but you know, the first part of the movie didn't make no sense, and then the Bobby hired a witch doctor to, and when you get up to a basic with just that against the zombies, that's when that was the movie at its best.
Well, I agree with you, and I think that, you know, for me, World War Z, it didn't feel like a summer. They were trying to sell it as a blockbuster film, but even for all the big special effects they had in a couple scenes. It was like a boring Stephen King TV movie.
It was. Just when they, where are you when we need you?
They've run the whole zombie genre into the ground. It's ridiculous.
Well, the book, War Z, the zombies are slow. These aren't even zombies. Yeah. They don't even eat you. They just bite you. There's no they're not eating people. They're just biting you and running away.
So if you have to improve the concept of a zombie,
Do they even call zombies in the movie?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't even remember that. All right. But to watch what somebody like Zack Snyder did with a tiny little budget in the Dawn of the Dead remake and all the tension and the humor and the stuff that he can do with that little bit of money, and to watch this giant blockbuster movie over $100 million just flub it like that. it felt like the UN had produced this. That's how kind of stale it was and non-horror it was. It wasn't a very good action movie, and it wasn't a very good horror movie.
Mel Brooks' son wrote it, didn't he?
He wrote the book.
The book, not the movie.
And nothing to do with the movie. They bought the rights, and apparently, the book is just in name only. I mean, sorry, the movie's only World War Z in name only. It's not an adaptation of the book. But, you know, Brad Pitt, man, I mean, for an action star, I mean, he's not really an action star. He's kind of like walking around talking to a walkie-talkie guy, you know, trying to figure things out. He's really an investigator. He's not really, you know, getting in his hands dirty and really fighting. You would think he does in the trailers, but they're not. I want to see him hanging off of planes and stuff. You don't see that.
And Max hasn't said about the movie. Or
he's probably got a gag order.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, here's your millions of dollars. Don't ever say a word. Yeah. Hey, I would shut up too.
Yeah. I spoke with Max.
I think the only good zombie movie within the last couple of years was the Teen Drama. It was like a zombie came to life for love of a young girl. I forgot the name of the movie off the top of my head, but what? Yeah.
Warm Bodies.
Yeah, Warm Bodies. Yeah. That was a twist to the zombie movie, and for me, that was successful for me. He had a story, he had good blood, and it got me hooked.
Yeah.
It was interesting, a better interesting twist on the zombie genre than World War Z. Mm-hmm.
Now, years ago, right after World War Z came out, I spoke with Max Brooks, and I think 28 Days Later had come out, and he was so against the idea of fast-moving zombies, like I am, and
Romero traditionalists.
It just makes absolutely no sense biologically why they would get faster. They would only get slower as they're rotting. So,
well, that's why this is more in a 28 Days Later, 28 Weeks Later vein. Because again, they're not zombies. They're not eating brains. They're not eating flesh. They just attack you, and then they bite you, and then within seconds you turn into one of them and you join the pack. That's why there are so many at the same time. But not only that, they've got this kind of superhuman strength and speed on top of it, which is nothing's explained. Mm. It's just a super, where you're watching the film and it's like they're like cockroaches crawling all over each other to get up walls and stuff. I mean, that's really, it's completely mindless. And then it's a lot like that I Am Legend with Will Smith, where when they're not stimulated by a human, you know, victim, they're just kind of standing or hibernating, kind of like just zoned out. And as soon as there's stimuli, they wake up and they come after you. So not like zombies at all. Zombies will just wander the earth until, you know, they stumble upon something. These things just freeze down when there's not something there to chase after.
But I've always thought of movie zombies as it's a straight up metaphor for death. I mean, death, you can outrun it for a little while,
right?
But eventually they'll catch you,
right?
Eventually death will catch you.
Yeah, these you can't outrun.
Yeah.
I mean, look, in its defense, there are a couple good twists in kind of the lore that they create. There's a couple good things, you know, how they kind of figure out how to kind of get around, you know, having to fight them straight on, because they realize early on you can't fight these things. There's armies of ants.
Sure you can. You just set them all on fire. That's what you do. You just burn them all like we do out here in Tennessee.
They're going pretty good.
It's surprised. I mean, it's very politically correct type movie too, because I think they do say at one point they're considering nukes, but then they don't for some reason. And, you know, there's a lot of weird, like, you know, sort of, you know, kind of underlining political things going on in the film, which
this veers way off subject, but it's interesting just to know. You've all seen The Dirty Dozen, right?
Yeah,
sure.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, you want to talk about being politically correct? That film would have been up for an Academy Award if they removed one scene. Guess what scene that was?
What?
When they torched the Nazis in the cellar.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't forget, that was like, I think, 64 or 65.
I mean, we're used to seeing that kind of thing in, you know, in the modern age, you know, stuff like Saving Private Ryan. But back then, war films were not realistic. They were still in kind of the propaganda area.
Yeah. But they said, you know, everything going on, that thing would have been up for an Academy Award. And they asked Robert Altman to excise that one scene. And he goes, no, that's what makes it work. You know?
What year was that, Pete?
Either 63 or 64.
What year was Wild Bunch?
69.
Yeah, that's exactly why.
Yeah.
I think post Wild Bunch, that would have flown. That wouldn't have been a problem.
Yeah. Well, there was a few. There was a few things people did. See, that was that whole thing. Like I said, it started. You know, it started with Blood Feast, and then. But I just saw something I haven't seen in years, Kaltiki the Immortal Monster, and that was like 59, and that had some really grisly stuff in it too. So, but it pretty much started with Blood Feast, and then it was like the Flesh Eaters, Horror Party Beach, you know, little splattered blood, and then once you hit 69, you know, 68 was Night of the Living Dead, 69 was the Wild Bunch. There it was, the door got kicked open.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
That's when all the studios started looking at this going, wow, they're making a lot of money. Let's steal their ideas.
That's what happened. If we can get back to summer movies just for a second. Okay. Fred, what are you looking forward to seeing? Lone Ranger's opening tonight. Are you interested in that? Or?
Yeah, I'll probably see the Lone Ranger on the 4th.
Okay. Johnny Depp.
They're predicting epic bomb.
They're
predicting epic bomb for a Pirates movie too. So. Maybe. I think For my case, I think the movie would be okay for me, but I will let you know next week.
Okay, great. Yeah, I don't know. Johnny Depp as an Indian, is it?
He claims to be part Cherokee in real life. Right.
I think Richard Grieco is probably more Cherokee than Johnny Depp.
Yeah, so is Chief J. Stormbow.
Peter DeLuise is probably more Cherokee than Johnny.
Yeah.
No, blackface is always funny, though, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's pretty much it. I mean, yeah, you know, it's funny. The Tontos of the past have all been actual American Indians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even back to the cereals.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of, you know. They needed Depp. He's too old to play the Lone Ranger, so they had to get him as Tonto.
I don't know why he's too old to play the Lone Ranger.
He should have been a Lone Ranger.
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured when they announced.
That's what I thought too. And it was like, oh, twist in casting. I don't think Armie Hammer, first of all, lame name. I don't think it's going to happen with him. You know, I think
who is he?
Curse of the Lone Ranger. Never heard of him.
Is he the son of Armand Hammer? The magnate or whatever he was?
Is he the baking soda guy?
I think so.
He's the box that keeps your refrigerator fresh.
He's the arm on that box that holds the mallet to crush your dirty clothes and to keep your fridge clean.
Why not Schwarzenegger as Armand?
Just remember this. Who was the last Lone Ranger in the movies?
Clinton Spilsbury. You remember that?
Oh, legend.
What happened to him?
I had the action.
The sense
that's
totally a trivial. Yeah, I think the sense we happened to Mr. Hammer.
Yes. Armie Hammer is the new Clinton Spilsbury.
Exactly. Yeah. Epic 79 and Epic Bombs today.
They'll be back to pricing cans of corn.
The one time Tonto will not be able to save the Lone Ranger. Yes. Right? Well, I remember they had these little figures, these little like Star Wars sized figures from that movie. I remember having the figures and not having seen the film. That's how bad the film was.
Yeah.
Kids didn't even want to go see it.
They had the dollars for it.
Yeah, exactly. And they had a little.
It's like the Godzilla remake. All that stuff went up in the dollar store too.
Yeah, exactly. We had all those toys, and I think they added on to it as well. They added on some like other like General Custer and like people that weren't in the film, which Cassie and the Sundance Kid. They added like dolls to the collection. You know, I'm sure they're worth some money now, but back then it was dollar store stuff. It was in the bin at Two Guys, Pete. Remember Two Guys?
That's where it
was, in a dollar bin at Two Guys.
The toys are probably worth more than Clinton Spilsbury is.
Whatever happened to Clinton Spilsbury?
He's the one bagging the toys at Two Guys.
I bet you we can find Clinton Spilsbury at one of these conventions asking for $30 for an autograph.
Yeah.
I think we're, Todd, or how are we doing on time, Mr. Producer?
We're about there.
Okay, so you're saying that we should wrap it up?
I am.
All right. Well, All right. as a special treat to say goodnight tonight.
Yeah.
The spawn of Mr. Reed.
The Mr. Reed chorus in the building here. Mr. Reed chorus.
And Jack and Casey. You guys want to say hello before you say goodbye?
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
One of us.
One of Mr. Reed. Can you believe it? No. No.
Not once, but twice.
Right. All right. So, listen, Pete, thank you so much for joining us for the hour.
Oh, my pleasure as always.
Check out Pete's new book is coming up, but we don't know when, but we'll find out. But you can keep tabs on him on his own show on Jackalope, returning to the Jackalope airwaves Fridays at 7 p.m. for the rant. Todd, thank you so much for producing the show. Fred, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Fred, thank you for coming on, talking about World War Z and the other films you're checking out. We'll have you back for more summer movie talk very soon. And, of course, Mr. Reed, thank you for warming up the co-hosting chair.
Keeping it warm.
And the spawn of Mr. Reed. All right, this has been the Movies Hate You Show. MoviesHateYou@gmail.com to send us an email. Check out WildEyeReleasing.com, our sponsor. And thank you again, everybody. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night.